In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. Today, brothers and sisters, on this Sunday of Cheese Fair Week, the Forgiveness Sunday, we also, it's called the Remembrance of Adam and Eve's expulsion from paradise. And in my preparation this week, reading the Holy Fathers, the saints, I came upon just one of the most wondrously beautiful homilies about this feast from a modern elder who passed away not too long ago. His name was Elder John Ioan Cristiancin. He was the elder and the abbot of the monastery in Pskov Pechersky, the monastery of the Pskov Caves in Russia, in Ukraine. An amazing modern elder. And I read this and said, I will simply share this with you all today for this great and holy day. The quickly flowing river of time rushes on to eternity. Only the Holy Church and God's feasts stop this motion for a moment, as if counting the time. And our entire life, from our birth to our departure from it, is reflected in this yearly cycle. It reminds us and calls to us, know yourself, look inside yourself, O man. Who are you? How do you live, and what awaits you ahead? You are rushing headlong with this flow of time to timelessness, to eternity. And so it is for us every day, every year. Was it not so long ago, brothers and sisters, a few weeks ago, in this pre-Lenten time of the Triodion, that cry of the human heart, languishing in sins, rang out in the Orthros service, for those of us who are hearing it? Open to me the doors of repentance, O giver of life. And our hearts trembled, and we could sense the holy fast was already in the air. But now the weeks of preparation of our field of repentance has passed. What's passed? The publican and Pharisee we have before us, who are mirrors of our souls. We called out to the Heavenly Father with the voice of the prodigal son, recognizing our distance from the truth, our departure to a faraway land. In those words, O God, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. Make me as one of your hired servants. Last week we had a reminder of the terrible and glorious last judgment of the Lord, when the books shall be opened and all secrets revealed. Not yet frightening us, it calls us to knowledge of ourselves, to deep repentance. And now we are here today, the last day before the threshold of great and holy Lent. On this day, the Church remembers many things, but especially the terrible tragedy that happened to mankind at the dawn of history. Its expulsion in the person of our forefather Adam from the face of God, the expulsion of Adam from beautiful blessed paradise. The veil of tears and sadness, the earth received this outcast so that at God's commandment the transgressor Adam would reap the soil with thistles and thorns. He would eat bread from hard work and sweat in his brow, and then in pain and tears and in sadness he would give birth to his children and feed them. So he would reap all the bitter fruits of his disobedience to the Heavenly Father. And Adam did weep, brothers and sisters. He wept in exile, sitting, as it says, outside of paradise. He wept. Why? Remembering what he was, all he possessed, and all that he lost. And to this day, it's no different. All mankind weeps and sighs over the first Adam, over that phantom, elusive phantom of happiness. The whole world, harassed and weary, weeps because of its waywardness, because of its naked soul, because life is aimless and joyless. Nothing can fill our life, so we might unconditionally feel the fullness of true, not phantom, happiness. For this fullness is only and solely found in the living God. But we are truly exiles, brothers and sisters. Paradise is far away. And the farther mankind lives from the time of the fall, the more shadowy that beautiful image of paradise becomes in him. The deeper is mankind's pain and suffering, and the more the image and likeness of God is becoming erased in people's souls. The world would have perished a long time ago had not the second new Adam, Jesus Christ, not reopened locked paradise and given every human soul the opportunity to return to it. We, in this present age, now carry the weight and sorrow of the life of an exile. Even we who live the life of the church, we know that incredible joy. If you don't know it yet, you will very soon. The joy of the open royal doors and those life-creating, incredible, jubilant words of Christ is risen. In these words is the original nearness to divine love for man. But preceding this incredible paradisical joy on earth, we must pass the Great Lent. And the church is constantly teaching that what we have lost through sin, we can find again. But it can only be regained through repentance. There's a word in Slavonic called podvig. It means like an ascetical struggle. Through repentance and through ascetic labors of great temperance, not just for monks and nuns, all Christians. Just a couple hours will pass in this liturgy, brothers and sisters, and we'll go home tonight, and tomorrow Great Lent begins. And we'll notice with amazement that something will change around us if we're in tune, and something will change within us. Something will happen that will place a seal, a special seal, a particular concentration and attention upon everything. And along with the church, we must pass from the call to repentance to the very work of repentance, the real work with our hands and hearts. Our mother, the church, received the Lord's commandment of the healing fast, which could be heard even in Old Testament times. Listen to what the prophet Joel said to the people of Israel. Now, therefore, says the Lord your God, turn to me with all your heart. And with fasting and weeping and lamentation, sanctify a fast, proclaim solemn services, assemble the elders and all the inhabitants of the Lord's house. Let the priests that minister to the Lord weep and say, spare thy people, O Lord, and give not thy heritage to reproach. The book of Joel. The second Adam, Jesus Christ, began the path of his labors. How? How did Jesus do it? With a beautiful 40-day fast. Why? So that by his divine love for fallen man, he might open again locked paradise and show us the way that every person can return to it. And the Holy Gospel tells us that Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness, and when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry in his humanity. And the devil came to him, the living God, and tempted him. Great, unbelievable is the audacity and the blindness of the dark powers of this world. Having made progress in tempting man in paradise, the devil began to war against God with blindness, not recognizing Christ the Savior and the Son of God. It approached his meekness, humility, patience, purity, and his holiness with what? With these temptations from pride, betrayal, conceit, and lies. But our sinless Christ God, who needed no purification, he opposed the tempter, the devil, with prayer and fasting, showing each of us how we follow him in the path of struggle, to struggle against sins. And the Lord confirmed this holy ancient practice. What did he say? Demons, and we all have them, go out by two things, prayer and fasting, from the Gospel of St. Matthew. By prayer and fasting, what do? The Christian receives the strength of the Spirit from the Lord for our struggle with the enemy. Through fasting and prayer, he receives the gift of discernment, the mind of Christ. Prayer and fasting, it lights the light, the Father said. It lights the light which disperses the darkness of sinful life. For the light shines in the darkness, as St. John says in his Gospel, and the darkness cannot comprehend it. By his will, that each of us is given, brothers and sisters, a man chooses a path of corruption or incorruption, a path of good or evil. If woe and suffering and death came to our lives through the disobedience to God, how do we get the other back? Only through obedience, which we hate to do in our stubbornness. Prayer and through fasting, our living sacrifice of love for God, only then can this light of supreme peace and joy return to us. And this, when this happens, my dear ones, is paradise on this earth. Yet, according to God's commandment, for love for God on earth only manifests itself as love for people. Keep that in mind. Love for God only manifests itself in love for people. The heart of a Christian can warm itself and burn only with a two-in-one love. Love for God and people at the same time. If our heart is hard, unforgiving, and cruel to our brother, to man, and then darkened by dislike, I don't like that person. That person annoys me. I'm cold. I have cruelty. Then it's a guarantee that heart becomes indifferent or fake and hypocritical to God. And paradise, which is so close to each of us, it could be in our hearts. It leaves us and it fades. And the sin of the lack of love gives birth to disobedience, conceit, self-love. This is a living hell. How can we love a sinner? How can we love those who hurt us? How can we love our enemies, those who don't love us? Here also the sweet Lord helps us. He gives us the prayer we say every day, the Lord's Prayer. Forgive us our trespasses, better translation, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. By this prayer, the Lord is saying to us, look at yourself. After all, you are that very debtor that needs to be forgiven. You are that very sinner. You're the one who doesn't love. You love by choice. You are someone's enemy. You have offended someone. You had contempt for someone. You have humiliated someone. You yourself need forgiveness. You need the incredible condescending love of God. The words of today's gospel, read by the deacon, resound. If you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will forgive you. But listen to this line clearly. If you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Forgive everyone, everything, and you'll be forgiven. Forgive and you'll be saved, and you'll inherit beautiful paradise. And right after these words about forgiveness, what does the Lord say? Judge not, and you won't be judged. In these very short words of our Lord, we find the most short and sure way to salvation, which bursts open the gates of the kingdom of heaven for us. The Lord shows us that virtue, which, by the way, without which all of our ascetic labors, efforts, prayer, fasting in general, especially during Great Lent, they'll be useless. Only path, the path of love for people, it begins with non-judgment. Let me repeat that. The path to love God and to loving people begins with non-judgment. Judge not and you will not be judged. In His first coming, the Lord came not to judge the world, but to save it. He came to open locked paradise. After all, God gave all judgment to His Son at the second coming. But for now, mercy rejoices against judgment. Now is yet still the time of God's mercy. God still has mercy on us, doesn't He? But yet we dare to judge and enforce. Having no doubts at all, we lift ourselves up with our smart opinions and judgments over our neighbors. Both near and far, small and great, people we don't even know. We judge when we know much. More often we judge when we know nothing at all. We judge from other people's words, hearsay, second, third, fourth hand, or made up. Just think, my dear ones, our judgment, as the judgment of an enemy, extends even to Christ Himself. What's He saying? We judge God. What do you mean? How, Father? Let's say a person has sinned before God, before people. You've seen somebody sin. We see it all the time. And we witness it with our eyes. But you did not see how that person repented. You weren't there when that person wept before the priest in tears, repenting. And he heard those words from the priest. And may God forgive you in this life and the age to come and set you free. We didn't hear those words. And yet God has already erased the handwriting of sins, and yet we continue to remember the sin and judge that person. This is no longer judging a person, brothers and sisters. This is a judgment over God, who has been merciful and forgives us. Thus, we perish by our judgment. Where there is judgment, there is never love. Only love is capable of all times of being an advocate, and only love can cover all the nakedness of our brothers. But we judge still. And this judgment becomes our own condemnation and our own sentence. It sounds like this in the scriptures. For he shall have judgment without mercy that has showed no mercy. That's scary. Paradise cannot receive us. And we're made for paradise, brothers and sisters. Paradise cannot and will not receive us if we have no love in us. Where there is no love, there is no salvation. Today, beginning with the ascetical labor of Great Lent, stepping into tonight and tomorrow, let us, dear friends, resolve two major spiritual lessons. One, do not judge. And two, do not tempt. Why? So that we can root ourselves in saving, blessed non-condemnation. That we can place a beginning of our struggle during the very first days of Lent. We must learn to see, judge, and condemn only one person, ourselves. That's the only person we truly know from every side, and we know him deeply, and we often don't like him. This is where judgment without mercy will be unto salvation. This is the only judgment that leads to true reason, judging yourself. It gives us a vision of that abyss on the edge of which we stand and which we dig out by our sins, our debts to God and people, and by constantly condemning others. This judgment of ourselves, what will it do when you look at yourself honestly? Stop judging others and look at yourself. What will it do? It will tear you up in a beautiful way. It'll tear a living, saving cry from our dead hearts that will reach the heavens. Lord, have mercy on me. God, be merciful to me. I'm so sinful. And the miracle of salvation begins at that moment. The Lord will and promises to console repentant souls. He consoles repentant hearts with his peace, his calm, and his love. In the words of our great elder, St. Seraphim of Sarov, acquire the spirit of peace and thousands around you will be saved. Transformation will begin in life all around us if we repent. The church yells to us in this time. Now is the springtime of the soul. Holy and great Lent is at our door. May the seed of our repentance and our prayer sprout forth, bud forth, and produce the saving fruits of our soul's resurrection in God. O children of God, may your mind fast from vain thoughts. May your will fast from evil desires. May your eyes fast from seeing evil, disgusting things. May your ears fast from evil, disgusting songs, and evil whisperings and slanders. May our tongues fast from slander, talking too much, condemnation, lies, flattering, fakeness, and foul language. May our hands fast from striking and from stealing what does not belong to you. And may our feet fast from walking to do evil deeds. This is the Christian fast. Hundreds of millions of us, starting tomorrow, Orthodox Christians in the world, will be fasting, and the Lord expects the same thing from each of us. Dear friends, let us enter the great fast. Let us enter with warrior nature, with boldness, whether we are man, woman, children, priest, cleaner, doctor, lawyer, homeless. Let us all enter into the field of battle with Christ as our Savior. Let's seek repentance, temperance, humility. Let's confirm ourselves in these as true Christians. Let's live in them so that having received forgiveness and really stopped judging and condemned only ourselves in these 40 days, we can be met with the greatest reward for repentance. After 40 days in Holy Week, we get the greatest joy, paradise on this earth, to meet Christ's holy resurrection, the deathless God who can take our dead souls and raise them up to paradise, and we can taste heaven on earth. May our Lord Jesus Christ help us in this holy time to love Him and to know we cannot love Him without loving others and forgiving and having mercy and to stop judging. O Lord, forgive our sinful, judgmental, and cruel hearts and grant us to cry unto You, O Lord, I have sinned. God be merciful to me, a sinner, and save me. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.